It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
The quarterback who's under the most pressure this weekend is not Aaron Rodgers. It is not Matthew Stafford. It is Patrick Mahomes. That's right. It's Chris Carlin, Harry Douglas in for Greeny today on ESPN Radio and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN Radio. Don't forget about the ESPN app, ESPN Plus. It's all there for you. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Harold Anthony Aloysius Douglas IV, how are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing outstanding, and that's where I'm starting today, Harry. Let's get to some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. This is going to sound a little bit nuts, but when you consider everything involved here and who's across the field and who he's chasing, when we look at the quarterbacks in the four divisional games this weekend, I am 100% of the belief that Patrick Mahomes is the guy under the most pressure. Ooh. And I simply say that because when I look at what the future holds in terms of his salary and where it stands on the Kansas City Chiefs salary cap number, and when I look at what he's ultimately going to be judged against, which is number 12 down in Tampa Bay, Patrick Mahomes is the guy that year in and year out over the next several years is going to have the most pressure on him in situations like this weekend.
Ooh, Chris, I have to disagree with you. How is Patrick Mahomes under the most pressure and Josh Allen is trying to get to what Patrick Mahomes has already been? I don't see it. I think if you're looking at this matchup, I think to me, in my eyes, the most pressure is on Josh Allen and the Bills. They have to win this game because you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Patrick Mahomes, his first year starter. He went to the AFC Championship game. Should have went to the Super Bowl if somebody knows how to stay on sides, but they didn't. Following year, what happened? They won the Super Bowl. The following year, what happened? They lost in the Super Bowl. Has Josh Allen made a Super Bowl yet?
No.
No. No. No. Now, granted, let me say this. I do believe right now Josh Allen is the most dangerous quarterback in the AFC. And I say AFC only because you still have Aaron Rodgers, who is up for MVP and most likely is going to win it on the opposite side. Now, I get into a little argument with people this week about the Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers thing. And here's why I say Aaron Rodgers is still above and the most dangerous in the National Football League. I think in 4 years, Rodgers only has about, 14 or 15 interceptions. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that Josh Allen has to get a hold of, right? Turn the football over. Being more accurate. Those are things that Aaron Rodgers does. Now, when you move over to the AFC, though, I do believe he's the most dangerous because he can do it with his arm. He can do it with his legs in that sense. But as far as pressure this weekend, it is not on Patrick Mahomes. Not a guy who's already passed with 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards in a season. Not a guy who's already won a Super Bowl, already been MVP. Josh Allen is trying to get there. The pressure is on Josh Allen and the Bills in my eyes.
All right. Let's dissect this for a moment.
Dissect it. Science class. Here we go, baby.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your call's coming up in just a bit on what quarterback has the most pressure on him this weekend. I look at it this way. Mm-hmm. I think we can agree that the Chiefs defensively are not where they need to be.
No.
I don't think they have a Super Bowl defense. No. Is that fair? They don't have
a Super Bowl defense.
So with that in mind, I'm looking at Mahomes, and you have laid out all of what he has accomplished already.
Yep.
And I believe that the bar is at a certain level on Patrick Mahomes, and it became that way when he made two Super Bowls in a row and when the Chiefs have the talent that they do. Patrick Mahomes is ultimately going to be challenged, or judged, rather, by one level, and that is Tom Brady level of quarterback. That is the ridiculous level at which he has played so far in his career. Correct. And it may not be fair to put the bar that high, but I believe that's honestly where it is. And to me, when he's going into these playoff games, as much as he may be comfortable in his own skin and where he is, the truth is, nobody's ever going to look at him the same in his career if he doesn't get close to Brady. And I honestly believe that when you look at the Buffalo Bills this week in particular, this is the best defense that he's faced. The Bills had the opportunity to beat them last year. And
no, they should have beat them twice. Listen, the regular season game last year and the AFC Championship game.
Yep.
Chris, I've watched both of those games plenty of times. They should have beaten the Chiefs both times last year.
Yep. But I think we can agree that the Bills are a better team this year and are playing better later in the year, and their defense is certainly playing at a terrific level. I don't expect them to do what they did last week. Of course, the Chiefs are going to score their points. But, Harry, when I look at Mahomes, he's got to go win this game himself. He has to go and win this football game himself. And I think that's an incredibly tall order even when you have all the talent around him that he does, this is a much different situation for him moving forward, because now he is not going to be judged like Josh Allen is right now. Nobody's putting Josh Allen ahead of Patrick Mahomes. Nobody's putting him on that level yet. Josh Allen still has things to accomplish before he starts to get to that level. Mahomes has been so far accelerated by his incredible play that puts him automatically in that spot.
And I say this, that's why I say there's more pressure on Josh Allen to win this game than it is Mahomes. When I looked at those two matchups last year, you want to know the common denominators in those two losses? Missed throws from Josh Allen. Taking unnecessary sacks, turnovers. Those were the common denominators in both of those games last year, right? I don't think a lot of people has brought that up, but the reason why I know this is because I have a lot of Bills fans that I get into it with when we go, like I travel the world with, and we have these arguments, and I have to bring my iPad out and show them A, B, C, and D so they can understand different things. So that's why I'm on this topic so hard, because I've went through those games and seen the missed throws. The first matchup last year when that game was in Buffalo, the first drive, I think Josh Allen missed a wide-open Beasley. I think he missed another wide-open Diggs coming across the middle of the football field. But this year, I'm going to say this. I love the progression of Josh Allen this year. The young man is doing it with his arms. He's taking his check down. He's getting the ball to his tight ends. He's getting the ball to his backs, right? He's taking what the defense gives him. I see the game against the Falcons. Even a game where he had three turnovers, he said, you know what? I'm not like everybody else. I have my legs. I can utilize my legs. And he rushed the football effectively, and he got it done on the ground and scored two touchdowns in that game. So that's why I say he's the most dangerous in the AFC right now, is because he can do it in different ways. And I also got to tell you this, just like Patrick Mahomes have to go get this win, Josh Allen has to get it too. The running game is bona fide now.
Absolutely. Allen's got to go get a big win, no doubt. But Mahomes is now just expected to. And with that in mind, let's get a couple of people's thoughts on this real quick. Straight Talk. This is Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Randy in Pennsylvania will start us off today. We're hitting them hard early. Randy, what's up, bud?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. You're on ESPN Radio.
I got to agree that Josh Allen definitely has the most pressure on him. There's no doubt about it in this one. Once again, I think his maturity level, he's really matured in the last year. But he's gotten the ball around to so many different receivers and utilizing so many different people in the offense. But he has made mistakes in the past. And I think if he can overcome them, I really think that the pressure's on him. But I think they're going to go a lot farther than people think this year. And I think Josh Allen
I got the Bills winning this game this weekend. But, Harry, here's the other part that doesn't do it for me on the Allen argument. It was all on him going into last week. Him and Stafford, fully believe, it was all on him. However, now, as he played as brilliantly as he did against Bill Belichick, I think that eases up just a bit for now. In the future, could be there. For now, I'm not putting him there yet.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm just saying, like, he has pressure on him. He has to perform, because Josh Allen is mediocre in this game, the Bills won't win. Josh Allen can't be mediocre.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get your take, and a couple of you already are hammering away on why it's neither of the guys we've talked about so far. Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. It's Chris Carlin, Harry Douglas in for Greeny today on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Next, some of you believe that Aaron Rodgers is that guy. Why he's not, and Mike McCarthy has just got to stop speaking.
Oh, yes.
Make it that simple.
My goodness.
You'll hear from him in moments. It's Chris and Harry for Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Aaron Rodgers is the original Patrick Mahomes.
We can't take watching greatness for granted.
Aaron Rodgers, MVP, all that is great. Last two times we saw him in the NFC Championship game, we saw losses. And it's like this big drama series just to lose in the NFC Championship.
Please don't sell me on the idea that Aaron Rodgers is the guy with the most pressure. Don't do it. Just don't. It's Chris Carlin. It's Harry Douglas in for Greeny today. That's right. I said it. On ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Harry, you know why? Aaron Rodgers doesn't care.
Talk to me.
He's at this
That's
point.
That's exactly.
He does not yes, care. Exactly. There is not pressure on you when you don't give a damn. And that's very clear to me. At this juncture in his career, he's not catching Brady. Nobody's doubting what his greatness is. Everybody thinks he's an incredible quarterback. And whatever happens this offseason, he's going to get a ridiculous amount of money from the Packers, or he's going to get to go somewhere else, and he will be happy there. And look, I'm sure he looks at it like he wants to win this year, but I don't think there's a ton of pressure on somebody that just doesn't care.
I don't think so either. And I had this question on First Take about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and there's no way that I would put Aaron Rodgers in that category, because of if you watch Aaron Rodgers every day, like he lives in his own world. He does his own thing. He moves at his own speed. He moves at his own beat. So a person who's usually like that don't have pressure on them at all. Not whatsoever. The man has a toe injury. He still goes out there, throws the ball around with ease. You had all the off the field nonsense stuff go on this year. Still goes out there and perform. There's not pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Now, if we're talking about the NFC Championship game, then that's a different ball game. But that's not where we are right now. Mm-hmm. We're in the divisional round. So as far as this weekend, in my eyes, there's no pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Even though I'm picking the 49ers to win this game.
Wow.
I still don't think it's pressure on A-Rod.
I don't buy that there is, and it's not even just that he doesn't care. I think he cares about criticism. That bothers him. But he doesn't care about the grand scheme of where he's going to stack up, because mentally he has already kind of established himself where he wants to be. I'm sure he wants to win again, but it's not going to change how he views himself, because I do think Aaron Rodgers is fully capable of finding other reasons other than himself as to why they would lose games in the postseason. If they lose this week, he will find a way to not blame himself, Harry.
Facts. I agree with you there.
Let's find out what you think. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Patrick is in Georgia, up next on ESPN Radio. Patrick, what's going on, dude?
Yeah, man. So, look, I think Aaron Rodgers does have the most pressure. First of all, he can't beat the 49ers in the playoffs. That's been proven. Secondly, I think it's laughable to say he doesn't care, because I think people who actually don't care don't constantly put it out in the media that they don't care. He's making a real big noise about not caring. People who don't care don't try that hard.
No, I think he cares.
You know
about, No. I don't. I think he cares about
he respects
criticized.
His teammates.
I don't think he cares about pressure or how people are ultimately going to judge his career.
Well, everybody gets really, really, really confused and tricked by his regular season stats and says that he's this great quarterback. But when the playoffs happens for the past 10 years, what has happened? Nothing. So you know what? He needs another Super Bowl ring, because if he doesn't get one, I'm sorry, you're a regular season hero.
Oh,
Harry, is that right? I don't buy that for a second.
I don't know. Me either. Because if there's one quarterback I wish I would have played with in my career, you want to know who that one guy is?
I'm guessing Aaron
Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers. And it's no knock on the guys that I played with, because Matt Ryan was tremendous. Mariota was tremendous. I played with those guys. But I'm just saying, like, if I had an opportunity, hey, Harry, who do you want to play with 1 year? I'm choosing Aaron Rodgers over everybody.
Yeah.
That's who I'm going with.
It's absolutely crazy for me to suggest this to a lot of people, but I think that pressure is always going to be there when you're a great quarterback anyway. I mean, real pressure is in the moment, right? And if Aaron Rodgers has already gotten it done once, and I don't think that you can look at all of his playoff losses and say they're on him. I don't.
Can I say something really quick?
Yeah.
Did people forget that Aaron Rodgers passed for 346 and three touchdowns last year in the NFC Championship game?
Apparently.
Did they forget that?
What matters is he didn't win the game. And
I understand that, but I'm just saying, though, like, to say he's just a regular season guy is crazy to me, because, Chris, I was on the side of a number one seed in 2010 where he came in and tore our ass up. And we lost at home and went on to win the Super Bowl. So that's nonsense in my eyes. For anybody to say that, that's crazy.
Eddie in Brooklyn is up next on ESPN Radio. Eddie, what's up, dude? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning? Listen, Joe was talking about AFC quarterback under pressure, but honestly, it is. I'm going the whole scheme of thing, the playoff this week. It's Aaron Rodgers, man. Aaron Rodgers has been to 5 NFC Championship and only won one, right? If we're talking about, like, all this talent Aaron Rodgers got, that's like we're talking about all this talent, like, say, LeBron have or Michael have, all these great players have, and they only come away one championship. We wouldn't see them in that same, like, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers cannot afford, especially to go up against Tom Brady and lose the NFC Championship again. That would be like, you know what I'm saying? That would be like, how you deal with that again? So I believe Aaron Rodgers under the most pressure to win this year.
Listen, I get where people come from on that, but when you can't throw in the name Brady when you realize that Rodgers is so far advanced in his career, that's not where people are going to
put him. Brady has 7 Super Bowls, Chris.
Yes.
He's never catching that.
He's not.
How many Super Bowls does Joe Montana have?
He won 4.
Joe Montana,
I mean, he's almost doubled Joe Montana.
A-Rod's not catching that, and I still got A-Rod above Joe Montana. Eli has 2, and I definitely have A-Rod over Eli.
Well, that's yeah.
So.
That's but close.
You understand what I'm saying, though. I'm talking about the Super Bowls, right?
Absolutely.
So I'm not going to sit up here and say A-Rod got to win another Super Bowl to define his legacy. No, I'm not going to say that.
No, me neither. And if you go look at his postseason numbers. I mean, the guy's got, you know, in 21 games, he's got 45 touchdowns and 13 picks. 45 and 13. I mean,
but he's a regular season guy.
Yes.
Come on, man.
How about
what are we talking about here?
Chris in Long Island is next on ESPN Radio. Chris, what's going on?
Carlin, Harry, how's it going? Also, it's just ridiculous that people still want to do this Aaron Rodgers thing, like Super Bowls, and it's that's the most annoying argument. But Carlin, you're saying Patty Mahomes is under the most pressure when you're comparing him to Tom Brady in his fourth year. I don't think you're under pressure in that situation. Patty Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers have solidified themselves already in going into GOAT status. The two quarterbacks under the most pressure are Tannehill and Jimmy G. They're in teams that have that are in spots, and if they don't win, it's going to be completely on them, and they're going to be looking for new quarterbacks going forward. It's not going to be Patty Mahomes. It's not going to be Aaron Rodgers. It's not Josh Allen. Those guys are not under any pressure.
I'd argue that Derrick Henry is under more pressure than Ryan Tannehill is, because Henry's coming back this weekend, and this is a guy that is an unbelievable talent, and I think we all agree that their postseason hopes lie a lot more based in what Derrick Henry's production is over the next couple of weeks versus what Ryan Tannehill's is, Harry.
No, I disagree. I think it's I will put it on Ryan Tannehill, because I was at the AFC Championship game 2 years ago at Kansas City when the team, actually the Titans, went up early and Kansas City came back, and then Tennessee was forced to be a passing team and they couldn't get it done. So in my eyes, that would be Ryan Tannehill, not Derrick Henry at all, because we've seen Derrick Henry lead his team to the playoffs, lead his team to the AFC Championship game. That was Derrick Henry. That was not Ryan Tannehill. So if I got to pick between the two people, it's on Ryan Tannehill, because now he has the Julio Jones. He has the A.J. Brown. He has the Fursker. He has those guys that if the run gets stopped, he has to do it with his arm and also utilize his legs when needs to be.
It's Chris Carlin, Harry Douglas in for Greeny today on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Last year gave us a lot of time to reflect on our jobs, and many of us reassessed. What do you really want out of them? Well, I say this is your year to find the job that you absolutely love. ZipRecruiter can help. They send you the right jobs, and you can apply to most with one click. They may even send you an awesome job that you never even knew existed. Just sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com today. Once again, go to ZipRecruiter.com and put ZipRecruiter to work for you.
Where did it go wrong for Mike McCarthy at? He called a play. That's not bad clock management.
This is a horrendous call.
I'm not calling for his job. I'm just telling you, I don't know how you bring him back.
Those had to be some ugly conversations. Had to be some ugly conversations this week with Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy. Chris Carlin, Harry Douglas, in for Greeny. And I'm blown away by still some of what Mike McCarthy is saying yesterday. First of all, addressing his team's psyche going into the game. Take a listen.
I thought we were nervous to start the game. Felt it in the locker room at the team prayer. But I thought we fought through that okay. I mean, we held them to field goals, and I think once our guys settled in, I thought that, you know, it balanced out and the competitiveness there. But, you know, the up and down was a challenge. You know, the offense not getting into a rhythm. You know, I thought the defense played stronger in the second half, gave us a chance to stay in the game, and, you know, we needed to make a couple more plays on offense.
Harry, the floor is yours.
Listen, so everything's not meant to be said. Sometimes just be quiet. It just you don't have to tell everybody everything that's going on within your locker room, especially that you felt like your team may have been nervous before the game. Why in the hell are you telling anybody that?
It makes absolutely
like that.
No, that sense.
I don't understand. Like, Chris, my mind is blown right now from him saying that for everybody to hear. Like, that some things just stay in house. They have to. That's one of those things.
Somebody's got, I mean, I wish some of these coaches, and, you know, it's never going to happen because reporters would be all over it. You just get a little, tiny little Bluetooth in your ear. No, don't say that. Actually, maybe he did have a tiny little Bluetooth in his ear, because he followed up on it later and was asked again about that whole pregame nervousness.
Why would your team be nervous? That the pressure of needing to win, wanting to win, having to win?
Well, let me take the word nervous back. I mean, it was a little angst, okay, which I think just like anything. I mean, it's just, I mean, they're excited. They had a great week of practice. I thought the pregame was good, but, you know, I just think that, you know, it was the first time we were doing this as a whole. Maybe it was two guys, you know, but I just think that, you know, we weren't, you know, they were a little cleaner than we were at the beginning of the game. That's just the facts.
You know, Harry, oh. I was an English major, and oh. I just went and checked out a thesaurus, and the word angst, not a whole lot better than nervous. Maybe listen, we go with butterflies. How about that? Chris, we had butterflies.
He got sent to the principal's office and tried to switch things up a little bit. Listen, you know how some they say players got to do media training, this whole thing? Coaches need to do media training as well. The do's and don'ts as a head coach, the things that you should and should not say within the media. And guess who it starts with? The owner, Jerry Jones. Because I think there's times the things that he says to the media that he shouldn't be saying either about his football team. So the apple isn't falling far from the tree in that organization.
It certainly is not. And when that's the case, you're only going to invite more criticism of an already exactly. dicey situation. And with that being, you know, present for you, like he's already said you're keeping your job. You just have to be more buttoned up than that. Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. But having said all of that, Harry, that's actually yep. not the point that Mike McCarthy made yesterday that bothered me the most. Not in the least. It had a lot more to do with what happened on that last play. And here we are 3 days later. And boy, I don't like this answer.
But as far as Dak sliding, giving the ball to the center can spot the ball. The receiver can spot the ball. So the fact that, you know, the opinion of you can't spot the ball is not correct. So the center can spot the ball. Our guys are trained to spot the ball exactly how the referee spots the ball. You put the tip on the inside edge of the hash. You know, obviously the umpire has to come in. All he has to do is touch it. We're in a 3-2-1 situation. You snap the ball. So obviously that didn't happen right there at that point. So, but as far as the training of Dak getting the ball to Tyler getting it down on the hash mark, you know, that part was intact.
What? Let me ask you this, okay? And while he's saying that the center can put the ball down, I get what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
Spot it is, like, when the center puts the ball down, that's not an official spot. The reason the ball has to be touched is that the official is actually spotting it, whether he just comes in and touches it and says, this is the spot, or whether he actually takes the ball and spots it in the place it's supposed to be. Harry, you hand the ball to the official. You hand the ball to the official. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. And I'll say this. That's just like saying, like, I'm running the football in between the hashes. You know how guys, like, after they're tackled, they reach out an extra yard and place the ball? So you're telling me he can do that in the play? The referee is going to grab that ball and put it back a yard short of what he reached. Am I right or wrong, Chris?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And then how about in that situation, because when I played in the league, we used to practice these situations, right? In the game situations is what we call them, right? How about you just get your receivers and tight ends, everybody on the same point, on the same page, and you just throw a quick little ball to one of those guys so they can slide down, and then you save a second or two instead of Dak just doing a quarterback draw and nobody even knowing that he's doing a quarterback draw. Like, everyone's not wasn't even on the same page. Or how about anybody in that organization just take accountability and say they messed up? Is that too hard to ask? Is that too hard to say when you mess up? We messed up. That's on us.
Yeah, and that's what bothers me about the situation is that there were 3 and 4 things wrong with that whole play.
Yes.
3 and 4 things wrong with it. And
people keep saying, Chris, that was the right play. How is it the right play if it didn't work? Somebody please explain that to me. It was the right play, but it didn't work. So how was it the right play?
It wasn't. That's why I don't understand what he's still saying. I get what he's trying to say, but it's not exact. He makes it out like the center can spot the ball, like that's the official spot. No.
Official has to touch the ball.
Greeny, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
If you didn't stay up late on the East Coast, you missed a little bit of drama out west. Chris Carlin, Harry Douglas in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Harry, hey, Lakers lost. Right now, only a 46% chance, statistically, of making the playoffs. Frank Vogel on the hot seat. And over the last 3.5 minutes last night, Russell Westbrook was on the bench. Let's listen to Vogel, first of all, on Russ being out of the game at the end.
Frank, you opted to go with Russ on the bench at the end of the game. What were you looking for there? What was the thinking behind that choice?
Yeah, playing the guys I thought were going to win the game.
Ouch.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh.
Ouch.
Oh.
Now, the stories this morning that are prevalent out there is that management has told Vogel, you do what you have to do to win. And you look at Russ and how he plays. The idea that LeBron and Anthony Davis thought this was going to fit so easily, I mean, that has been debunked within the first 2.5 months of the season. That's got to be tough to take.
And I'll say this. Granted, you gotta get some leeway here, though, because you got to understand it is LeBron, right? A guy who I think this is the second best player of all time. Michael Jordan's number one. But how he's been able to make being with different players and different superstars work. So originally when the move was made, I was like, I don't know. But it is LeBron. They're going to figure it out. But now here we are, and they have not figured it out. But I'll tell you, Chris, one thing coaches used to always say, and if I was a coach, one thing I would tell my players, I'm not coaching attitude and effort. I'd never do that. I'll sit you up right beside me and you'll watch the rest of the game before I sit up here and try to beg you to give effort and have a great attitude about it. I'm not doing that.
And Russ didn't care again on the defensive end last night.
No, when he let LeVert just go right by him and score that layup.
Yep.
You can't have that. And then you have a guy, one of the greatest Lakers of all time, Magic Johnson. When he sends a message, trust me, people listens. They listen. Because they know how much this Lakers organization means to him. LeBron comes out and says the effort has not been there. And then you come out and do that. But I want to focus on Russ's numbers. These last few games that they've had. Think about this, though, Chris. Last night, Russ had 14 points, shot 29% from the field. The game before that, shot 33% from the field. Game before that, 46%. But listen to this. The next two games against Sacramento, 14% from the field, 16% from the field. Against the Hawks, 28% from the field. How are the Lakers supposed to win if Russell is putting up those numbers from the field? How are they supposed to win?
Highest paid Mason of all time. Like, he is absolutely as big of a bricklayer in terms of shooting as there's ever been, as far as great superstar players go.
Listen, I grant, Russ can get you the triple doubles, but see, he should have bypassed that part by now. Now it's about seeing how I can be acclimated to this Lakers basketball team. How can I fit best? Do I have to alter things that I do? And I know sometimes you don't want to have to alter, but when LeBron went to Miami, what did D-Wade do? He altered some things, right?
Mm-hmm.
He altered some things. And granted, I understand Anthony Davis is not out there, and that hurts this Lakers basketball team in a lot of ways, because AD is looked upon as, okay, the successor to LeBron, the guy that they're going to lean on to get that championship like they did when they won the championship, right? But he's not out there right now. So now I need Russ to step up. LeBron's doing his part. You need Russ to step up.
Well, there's somebody else.
But defense and effort is not going to be – I'm not going to beg anybody to play defense and show effort. No.
Well, and there's also the problem with the coach, because he is on the hot seat right now. Let's listen to LeBron postgame last night, what he had to say about Frank Vogel.
I'm not in that business of pointing fingers or pointing blame or trying to put a quote at the end or at the start of somebody's someone's commentator of what they feel, you know, our coaching staff or Frank is, or where Russ is, or where I'm at, or AD. If it's not positive for me, it's not my lane. I'm not a negative person. You got something to ask me besides trying to show somebody, I answer those.
Well, okay, but it's not like there's not precedent here, LeBron. I mean, ask David Blatt about that. And what happened when they fired David Blatt? They went and got Ty Lue. They won one championship in Cleveland, you know? So LeBron is – Frank Vogel's going to be out here soon. That's very clear. That will be change number one. And then February 10th, which is right around the corner, about 20 days away, you're going to have – a situation where they are going to be trying to offload Russell Westbrook, yep. And it is not going to be easy to do.
Here's my thing, though. Like, how much can you blame on Frank Vogel? He's not going out there playing.
Oh, it doesn't matter whether he's to blame or not. It's just going to – something's got to change, and it's the easiest thing to change.
I just
– it doesn't make it right, but it,
oh,
I think
no,
it's
man.
True.
Like, these guys are going out there stinking up the place – it's not even a Staples Center anymore. What is it called? Crypto building?
Crypto.com, I believe.
Crypto.com. Don't even sound right. But That's what it's called. But they're going out there stinking up the place. You have all those stars coming to the games to watch Westbrook build a brick house 10 stories high, about 15,000 square feet worth. Unbelievable, man. They got to get it together, because they're on the verge of being in the situation that they were in last year. And we all know what happened last year.
Well, Russ has a $47 million player option for next year.
What?
$47 million player option. I don't think he's going to be opting out. I think it's a pretty safe assumption he's going to collect every penny.
Chris, let me go stretch my damn groins out. Man, I'll be back. Where's my headband?
Harry, I have no question in my mind that right now you would shoot the rock better than Russell Westbrook is.
I wouldn't question it either.
Listen, I know athletes, I know what they're capable of, and I know I've watched Russ enough to know what he's not capable of. My goodness. Is the Super Bowl champ primed to get an upset this weekend? It's next.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcast.